you, Jesus. Before I introduce our speaker this morning, I just wanted to share a few thoughts that came at our last conference when Prophet Chuck Pierce was here. He commented on the fact that Alaska is known as a pioneer and forerunner of the apostolic movement, not only in the United States, but internationally. Something was launched here in Alaska that is even today still impacting the nations of the earth. And we're just a small little corner of the continent. But somehow, you know, God loves to choose small things to do to show his glory. It's not that we are so special. It's that he is so special. My goodness, I love that. One of the things he said to us is that we were to, that there's a security in the atmosphere, listen to this, over this state. There is something that you've secured in the past that is now being used to set a new and a fresh course, not only for Alaska, but for the United States. How many of you have been around back in the 90s when there was so much warfare over the state of Alaska? Do you remember those days? Yeah, Dorothy, I remember you were a part of it. So, yeah, so were you, Pauline. Jack, show your hands. Yes, yes, all that warfare. Man, we labored. We were slashing and hacking and chopping in the spirit. We didn't know what we were doing, but we were doing it with all of our heart. Yeah, we just charged in. Do you remember that? The minute God would show a spirit over the state of Alaska, man, we were charging with our Bible and sword in hand. Wow, those were exciting days, and it was hard. This is not that season. I praise God for all the warriors, but the warring has shifted somewhat. God has granted a scepter, and he has put something in the atmosphere because of all that strategic warfare of security. So under that mantle of security, we can address issues in our lives that are plaguing our children, our spouses, our households, and we could do it with the scepter of the Lord, which means as a ruling king. The King Jesus now. You bring him into your circumstance with boldness. Now listen, the first time I ever tried to do that, I was so timid and my voice was shaky and I could hear the weakness of my declaration. But I didn't give up. I repented, told, you know, I just was being human. I'd never done that before. So then I tried it again. This time my voice was stronger. Now I was getting some confidence. Then I did it again. Then I had the courage to actually address a spirit. And it disappeared. It left my home. Gone. Then I learned that when a spirit would trouble, I'd point at it and it would leave immediately. I was growing in exercising my authority. We are going to do that this morning. The prophet said that Alaska is full of seers for the nation. We have eyes to see. And it's so important that we're willing to exercise the gift that is in us. Not with pride, but with just the confidence that comes from walking with the king and carrying the scepter that he gave us. He is giving to his kingdom church, every one of you, a scepter of authority. And he's telling you, start to exercise it now. I'd like you to welcome our speaker this morning. I've known Dorothy for a long time, Dorothy Bacolak. She comes from a family line that has traveled by dog team, by plane, by car, to many, many places in the state for many years. They have a long history of service to the king. And Dorothy carries that anointing that her parents carried. and her grandparents carried. And she has been given an amazing authority in the land. And she has that authority to speak to land issues and to break the grip of the enemy. Very valuable gift that God has granted us here in Alaska. Please welcome Dorothy Bacolik.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord over Alaska. He's Lord over Anchorage. He's Lord over our families. He's Lord in this place. All glory and power belongs to him. He's God. Hallelujah. I want to thank Mary and Eleanor and Robert for asking me to share. And I want to thank my brother Ipley back there, because I've been sharing with them at their church as well. And when Mary was saying that God has given me authority over the land, it came at a cost. We lost in our family 3 brothers and a sister, violent alcohol-related deaths. And we were being taught in the 90s that there are 4 sins that defile the land. A man by the name of Henry Groover came to Anchorage Christian Center, and he taught us that these sins that defile the land, they defile our families as well. They're generational curses that defile the families and the land. And he taught us how to break the generational curses that defile the land through witchcraft, innocent blood shed upon the land, broken covenants, sexual sin. And I add one more, because in Exodus, when Moses got the Ten Commandments, he said, honor your father and mother, that it might go well with you in the land which I've given you. And so I've added that one to that, what he taught us. But because my sister Eva, she's my spiritual mama. Stand up, Eva. Hallelujah. She was saved many years before I was, and she's one of those that discipled me, along with Mary. And when our last brother died, we went to the place where he died, and we used what we were taught, and we repented before God for the innocent blood that was shed upon the land. And as we repented for the innocent blood that was shed upon the land by the sins of our forefathers, through tribal wars, through murder, through this, through that, we said, Father, the blood of Jesus covers that sin. And because the blood of Jesus covers that sin, Lord, we break off every generational curse that was brought on by innocent blood that was shed by our forefathers. And as we begin to repent for the sins of our forefathers, we break off from our family line that curse of murder. And we said, Father, we've lost these 3, 4 in our family, and because of the sins of our forefathers, we break off every generational curse of murder. We break off every generational curse of innocent blood that's been shed upon the land from our forefathers, but also from us in Jesus' name, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same way that Moses put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts and that spirit of death passed by Israel, Lord God, today we put this blood of Jesus upon the doorposts of the Bacolik family, and we say, spirit of death, you're passing over our family. No more will you take those young before their time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So it was this authority that God gave us came at a price. But I'll tell you what, God honored our prayer. There, out of 18 of us, we lost four. There are 14 of us still yet serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was 1990-something, huh? That we prayed that prayer over the land. Hallelujah. So today, I just want to say that without Jesus, we're nothing. Without the Lord. And when I think about what Jesus did for me, there's times in my walk with the Lord that I get on my knees and I just have to thank him. Because Jesus took me out of deep depression. Jesus took me out of addiction. Jesus healed my mind. Jesus brought me into a place of freedom. And this freedom, they said to me early on, work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. And so many times when I'm being attacked through family or I'm being attacked in this way and that way as a baby Christian, my sister Mary said, Dorothy, you've got to learn how to use the word. And so before I go into places where I was being tempted to do things that I shouldn't be doing as a young baby Christian, I would go and I would say, Father, your word says you will not give us more than we can handle. But with each temptation, you're going to make a back door. Lord, I'm going over here. There's temptation there. Lord, make a back door for me when I get there in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you what, he made the way every single time. There is power in the word of the living God. The word is alive. It's powerful. Hallelujah. That was a freebie. So, Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. Lord God, I'm asking you once again that you would anoint your word. Father, I'm asking you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And your word says, when we ask, how much more will you give him to us? So, Father, anoint your word. You said, I don't need to worry what I will speak before mine enemies, but that you will give me that which to speak in Jesus' name. And, Lord God, prepare the hearts of the people that are listening to this message. Let their hearts be good ground to receive your word, Lord God, and that their hearts will bring forth fruit in Jesus' name. Lord God, I bless Mary and Eleanor and Robert, Kingdom Alliance, as they begin to build a net across Alaska and into the lower 48, Father God. We're asking you that you would bring in the harvest in Jesus' name. And I bless this ministry. I bless what you're doing through this ministry. I honor you. I give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was raised under Pastor Dick Strutz. How many of you know Dick Strutz? Yeah, he taught the word. And he told us, when I teach you the word, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's from the word has already been taught. There's nothing new under the sun. Whatever I teach, you use it. You take it, you eat it, you make it a part of you, and then you spit it out. And so what I'm spitting out today, I received from a man by the name of Robert Morris. And so one of my teachers was Linda Davis, and I watched her under a heavy anointing teach something that somebody else had preached. And I saw the anointing of the Holy Ghost begin to go through. And my sister Eva told me one of these things.
I'm going to switch out the mic. Can you use this?
Sorry. Yay.
Testing. 1, 2.
Yes, you can see me now, huh? I'll go down here. I feel more comfortable here. But my sister taught me this. She said, Dorothy, Sometimes we're in the school of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when we read the word, we interpret it wrong. That's why God raises up teachers to correct our theology and to correct our doctrine. And when I watch Robert Morris, he's one of those that corrects my theology. He corrects my doctrine. The places where I've not translated the word right or interpreted it right, he's one of those men that corrects my theology. So I give honor to whom honor is due. So we're talking this morning about the Jezebel spirit. And I'm so grateful that Mary mentioned what happened in the last conference with Dutch Sheets and Chuck Pierce. And I'll tell you what, when they said that Alaska is going to deal with these things corporately, my heart leaped, because I've been leading our Native people in the villages to repent corporately for the sins that we've committed against God as a people and as a race. And God honors that. So, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. I'm going to go there, and then I'm also going to go to 1 Kings 19. This is the messages that Jesus spoke to the churches. And verse 18 is a corrupt church. And the angel of the church in Thyatira, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write. Isn't it something that he said to the angel of the church? Yeah. And, you know, when we're talking about Jesus, his kingdom come, there are angels up in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. And today, seated among us, there are angels that are going to be ministering right alongside of us to accomplish that which Jesus wants to accomplish on this earth. Hallelujah. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Verse 20, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel. That word allow is the same, the synonym for allow is tolerate. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. And this is one thing about people that claim to be something that they are not. They call themselves this. It's not the body of Christ. It's not the authority that recognizes the gifting in the person. This person calls herself a prophetess. To teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things that are sacrificed to idols. In Acts 15 and 29, the Jewish people addressed this to the Gentiles. They said that we're to stay away from sexual immorality, things offered to idols, things strangled, things with the blood. Why did they ask Gentiles to do this? Because any of these things defiled the Jewish people. And if they were going to have us Gentiles grafted in and we were to serve alongside of them, they didn't want us to defile our relationship with them. And so they asked us to stay away from those. Jezebel tries to get you to defile yourself through sexual immorality. She tries to get you to defile yourself with witchcraft, idolatry. The sexual immorality defiles you inwardly, while the other four things, things offered to idols, things strangled, and things with the blood, Those things defile us outwardly. The Jews did not want us to defile ourselves in the way that they would disqualify us, either inwardly or outwardly. They did not want us to be disqualified. Hallelujah. Verse 21, Jesus said, "And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent." When we tolerate the Jezebel spirit, we're allowing her to do as she wishes. We're allowing her to do as she pleases. We're not to defile in any way because it affects our fellowship. The Jezebel spirit tries to get me to defile myself either inwardly or outwardly so that I am disqualified in the ministry that God has given me. And we don't want to be disqualified. God has called Alaska to her place. Hallelujah. God is the judge. The problem with the Jezebel spirit, we don't want to confront it sometimes. You know, we as Native people, we were taught not to bring shame upon another person. I would not tell Jack what's wrong with him because it would bring shame upon him. And it's real strong on the inside of me because my mother said, "You don't bring shame upon people publicly. You don't shame them with what they did wrong publicly." And so we have this real strong urge not to bring shame. But yet we're being called into a place where if we're going to confront this spirit, that we have to confront it sometimes. We have to break free from some of these things that held us back. Sometimes we don't want to confront it because of what we'll get back. If there is someone that you dread confronting, it is very possible that you're dealing with a spirit. You dread the over-the-top reaction that you will get, or the rejection or withdrawal that you will get when you do confront this person. And this spirit operates not only in the church, it operates in business world, it operates in families, it operates in the church. And I'll tell you what, in the business world, I've confronted this spirit. And this spirit chewed me up and spit me out and fired me. I did not know yet. I was young in the Lord. I did not know yet how to deal with this spirit. That was a tough time. I'll tell you what, though. I got on my knees and I repented for not submitting to the authority in the workplace. And when I repented one of those times for not obeying my supervisor, I was angry with her because what I saw something that she did that hurt the people. And so this side of me that wants to protect rose up, and I came against what she was telling me to do. And because I rebelled, how many of you understand God puts people in authority over you? And because I rebelled, I was driving back to Anchorage, and I heard this teaching that rebelliousness is as a sin of witchcraft. And I tell you, as soon as I landed here in Anchorage, I was on my knees and I was repenting before God for the sin of witchcraft. I was repenting God for the sin of rebelliousness. And I repented and I forgave my supervisor. And when I forgave her, I asked the Lord to bless her. The same way, Lord, that you're blessing me to know you. The same love that you're giving me for people. The same healing that you're doing on the inside of me. Would you bless her in that way, to know you that way? I went back to work on Monday. This lady resigned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sometimes we dread the over-the-top reaction that we get when we want to address it in our families. I don't know about you, but I know that this spirit, I'm going to get into that a little later, how it operates in our families. You may be tolerating a spirit that you should not tolerate. Elijah stands up and addresses this spirit as well as the Ahab spirit. When Elijah was up on the top of Mount Carmel, remember he took and he built an altar and he called the prophets of Baal and he called them to come and to build their altar to their God. And he said, the God that sends down fire from heaven, he is the one true God. Hallelujah. Elijah addressed this spirit. Hallelujah. That Ahab spirit, the Jezebel spirit does not operate without an Ahab spirit. The Ahab was a man. He was a king. And he conquered more land than King David. You might be someone in ministry. You might be someone high up in authority, but not have the deep security of knowing who you are. And because you don't have the security of knowing who you are, you may tolerate and line up with somebody that has that Jezebel spirit. And so because the Lord is wanting us, our eyes to be open to how this spirit operates in the body of Christ, how this spirit operates in our children, how it operates in our villages, how it operates in the village hospitals, how it operates in the business realm, in the government realm, God is wanting us to go and to deal with this spirit. Hallelujah. Every one of us have been affected by this spirit. There's not a one of us that hasn't been affected. We have either been controlling or been controlled. How many of you get really mad when people don't listen to you? That's a controlling spirit. Yeah. Yeah. We have been controlling or been controlled. This spirit has affected all of us. Who was the king of Israel that conquered the most land? I just said it. That was Solomon. The second was Ahab, and the third was David. Jezebel. When Ahab wanted that vineyard next door, Ahab conquered so much land, but yet he couldn't get a vineyard next door. So he went and whined and moped and complained to Jezebel, because what he couldn't get, she could. That's why he aligned with her. And so Jezebel used intimidation. She used fear. Manipulation. Lying. She used all of those things. The Jezebel spirit can The Jezebel spirit used that fear and manipulation and control and intimidation. And remember, she killed Nabal to get his land. And then she gave it to King Ahab. Hallelujah. One of the things about control, Jezebel operated in a heavy, heavy controlling spirit because she was rejected by her father. Her father was a priest. Her father was a king of the Baal temple, a priest of the Baal temple. And her father rejected her, and she had a controlling mother. And whenever we are wounded through rejection, there's a little girl on the inside of us. When we're little, we desire to be loved by our parents. We desire to be accepted by them. We so desire to be accepted by our parents that we will do anything for them to accept us. Sometimes, huh? Hallelujah. But this little girl was rejected by her father. And when we get wounded on the inside of us and we get devastated in our little spirits, in our little psyche that we have as children, the way we try to compensate is, if I can make you do this and make you quit putting your arm like that and make you like this and you take quit doing this. If I can make you do what I want, then maybe my world will be okay. And so that's how that controlling spirit is birthed. Satan attaches to the wounding of the heart. Hallelujah. The Jezebel spirit can operate either in a man or a woman. It's not gender-based. In many instances in the Bible, the Jezebel spirit operated. You can read about how people operated in this spirit. Herod the Great was one of those. And Herod the Great manipulated and controlled. He wanted the favor of the Jewish people, and so he built the Wailing Wall. He built that great wall for the temple because he wanted the favor from the Jewish people. Herod the Great he killed servants for talking, or banished or killed all his wives. He used fear and manipulation and control. He told the three wise men, when you find Jesus, come back and tell me. But the three wise men were warned out there in the fields, don't go back, because he's going to kill Jesus. Not only will he kill Jesus, but he'll kill you too. And so they understood this spirit, and they wisely went somewhere else. Hallelujah. The Jezebel spirit is a jealous spirit. The Jezebel spirit is jealous for the authority that Mary has. The Jezebel spirit is jealous for the authority on Eleanor and Robert. The Jezebel spirit is jealous for the authority that the pastor has. And so because of that jealousy, that Jezebel spirit will come against the people in authority. And they'll go around and divide the body of Christ. They'll hurt people to gain authority. And it doesn't matter who I hurt, because I know more than they do. And I can fix it. Pride. The Jezebel spirit is full of pride. There are four ways how you can recognize that this spirit is affecting you. When you see people trying to come up beside you because they want to come alongside of the anointing, they feel like they can't get where they want to without coming alongside of the leaders. And so they'll come alongside you and try to serve you and try to gain your trust and try to be with you so that when they, like if I come alongside Mary and I court Mary and then all of a sudden Mary opened the door for me, I may be operating in the wrong spirit. And I want what Mary has, King, and I would go over here and I would tell Jack, Do you see? I am concerned about Mary. She's not doing what she needs to do for KAN. Can we pray for her? And then we'll start talking what's bad about her. And we'll try to pull her down. We want the favor of KAN. We want the favor of the people out here. And we're going to get it even if I walk all over her. Even if I hurt her feelings by talking about her bad. And the thing is, Mary and I are friends. The Jezebel spirit comes in subtly sometimes through friends. Very subtly. And sometimes this is a witchcraft spirit. And what the witchcraft spirit does, it casts a spell. If I'm trying to get this with, I align myself with Jack so we can overtake KAN, and this is a leader in the body of Christ, this Jezebel spirit will cast a spell so that when we come to talk with him, he doesn't recognize that I'm operating in that spirit. He thinks I've got a valid point, a valid reason for taking over the church or this KAN. And this is just a for instance. This is one of the ways in which this spirit operates. So when you see people in trying to come alongside of you when you're in authority, that's one of the ways that you can recognize this spirit and how it's affecting you. Another thing is fear. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1, Elijah had just killed 850 prophets, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. Elijah had called fire down, fire rained down on the altar and consumed the sacrifice that he put on the altar, even though it was full of rain. Elijah had done marvelous things under the hand of God. But yet let's look at what he did in verse 1 of chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Elijah became so scared because there's a fear, a spirit of fear that is thick, it's heavy. We're not dealing with people. We're dealing with the spiritual realm. There are three heavens. The Bible says, Apostle Paul said, "I do not know whether I was in the spirit." And sometimes I quote it wrong, so don't get all jumbled up if I quoted it wrong, because my memory is not that good. But if I quote it, "I do not know whether I was in the spirit or whether I was in the body." But he ascended to the third heaven. And if there are three heavens, there's a number two and a number one. Number one heaven is the sun and the moon and the skies, the clouds, the atmosphere that we look at. The second spirit, The second heaven is the where God casts, when he casts Satan out of heaven, they went into the second heaven. Satan is the prince of the air. And so, why was I going there? I just lost my train of thought. Third heaven. We're dealing with prince and principalities in heavenly realm. We're not dealing with people. And this is an ancient spirit. Remember when Daniel was praying, he had fasted for 21 days and he was praying before God for the salvation to set his people free. He's praying for his people because they're in captivity. And then the angel came 21 days later, and he said, I heard you the first day. God heard your prayer on the first day. But they withstood his, the principalities withstood his prayer. The forces of heaven withstood his prayer. These are ancient spirits. It took the God's highest archangel 21 days of conflict to answer Daniel's prayer. It's not an easy thing. We may call it it's an ancient spirit. So when Elijah is running, it's because there's a huge cloud of fear that he suddenly come into, and he's tired, and he ran as hard as he could, and he went into the wilderness. How many of you, when you're in conflict with somebody, want to run? Yeah. 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 And when we're under attack, and we're under attack by the spirit of intimidation, the spirit of fear, the spirit of control, all of those things that we're coming against, sometimes I just want to go to Fairbanks. Get away from it all. Yeah, and you want to come down here. Yeah, so Elijah ran to be by himself. One of the things that we do when we're confronting this spirit is we want to isolate. We don't want to be around anybody. I'm sick and tired of that anyway. I'm tired of people. I'll be by myself. I'll go lick my wounds over here. Isolation is not a good thing. Solitude is a good thing. Jesus went away to be by himself when he needed to be replenished. He went away to be with the Lord and to pray and to commune with God. That's a good thing. But when this spirit comes against you, sometimes all we want to do is stay home and veg out. Get in front of the TV, get on our computer, play our games, eat. So you may know that you're dealing with a spirit when you're going through a lot of fear. And you have to understand this is not a person that's intimidating you. It's a Jezebel spirit. You always take authority over the enemy. Always. Always take authority over the enemy. The Bible says, submit to God and resist the enemy. And so many times when I'm going through these attacks in my personal life, and I've gotten so angry and responded in kind, it's like the spirit has a hook in you, huh? And sometimes you respond and you hurt people around you when you're under this control of the spirit. And it's in that time that I get on my knees and I repent before God. And I say, Father, forgive me for what I did, for the way that I've hurt my son. Forgive me for operating in the same spirit that he operates in. Father, as you cover my sin with your blood, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over the spirit because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, Satan, your hold over me is broken. in Jesus' name. And lots of times when I've done that, I'm clean on the inside. How, doesn't it feel so good to be clean? Yes. It's like a whole new world after you've been through so much turmoil, huh? Yeah. The grass is green again. Hallelujah. When you get quaky or anxious or nervous, when you think of confronting someone, whether they be a pastor, an elder, a family member who is using intimidation, this is one of those little tiny flags, red flags that should go off on the inside of you. I'm dealing with a spirit. Because you fear the over-the-top reaction that you'll get when you do confront them. Or the rejection. This spirit, God the Father, when he took authority, he said, all authority has been given to me of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. The power and the authority that comes to us, he said, behold, I give you authority to trample on snakes and on scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And when you get this authority from Almighty God to deal with this spirit, God's authority is so much bigger than this spirit. It might be an ancient spirit, it might be a principality in the second heaven, but the authority of God trumps this spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not any ifs, ands, or buts. It trumps this spirit. You stand up and you address this spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to stand up and address that spirit of fear and its power that it has over you. Sometimes that spirit of fear and the power that it has over you, sometimes it becomes so strong on the inside of us. But yet when we come before into the presence, see the presence of God, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father so loved Jesus, Jesus so loved the Holy Spirit, Jesus so loved the Father, the Holy Spirit so loved the Father and Jesus that they are perfect. God is love. And when we come into the presence, we're dealing with a lot of fear in our lives. We get into the presence of God and the spirit of love. We come into that presence of the spirit of love. Even in that place, we can love our enemy. Hallelujah. Especially when we realize that their wounding on the inside of them is causing them to act the way they're acting. We're not addressing flesh and blood. Hallelujah. When the Jezebel spirit is attacking me, another way that you can recognize it is you get very, very tired. You get exhausted. In 2 Kings chapter 19 in verse 4, this is Elijah. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life. I am no better than my father's. In Job chapter 3, you don't have to go there. I'm going to go there, but because of time. Job chapter 3, verse 11, Job said this, why did I not die at my birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Why did the knees receive me? Or why the breasts that I should nurse? For now I would have lain and been still been quiet, I would have been asleep. When you are exhausted, you want to rest. And as long as you tolerate the Jezebel spirit, it will affect you. If you are having problems sleeping at night, it may be that the Jezebel spirit is bothering you. When Elijah got away, he slept under the broom tree. And sometimes when you go away from wherever the trouble is, how many of you leave the place where your trouble is and you can sleep like a baby? Yeah. Yeah. So exhaustion is one of those ways that we can recognize that this spirit is affecting us. There's a breakthrough. We have to get a breakthrough from this spirit. If we have to go to sleep with sleeping pills, our bodies were not designed to go to sleep in that way. There may be a place on the inside of us that needs to be healed. There may be a place that we've been affected by the spirit. We need a breakthrough. Number four is depression. That was verse four. Your words of when Elijah was talking in verse four. He wanted to die. But he himself, he prayed that he might die. And this is very common to leaders. Moses said, "If you treat me like that, kill me now." Very common. There are thoughts of suicide. When you're around this Jezebel spirit, it's a demon spirit. There are thoughts of quitting the ministry. I don't know about anybody else in ministry, but I've decided to quit a couple times. When you're in the valley and going through, don't go to that place of quitting anymore. Deal with the spirit. The apostolic comes into play here to set things in order. There's wisdom. There's wisdom in counsel. One of the things that I so appreciate about Mary, I was young in the Lord, and I had sinned, and I knew it. And so I went to her to get prayer. And I remember her laying hands upon me. And she said, "You need to go to God through repentance." And so I repented of the sins that I'd committed. I was born again long before, but I'd sinned. You have to be accountable to someone. So I went to her and she prayed for me. After I'd repented, she said, "The Bible says when you repent, he's able and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness." And then she laid hands on me and she said, "Satan, in Jesus' name, the Bible says that Dorothy is marked on the forehead as belonging to God by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit marked her and branded her as belonging to Almighty God. You can't have her. You can't take her. She's a child of the Most High God." Sometimes when we're going and addressing this spirit, we need to go to an apostolic authority to help us to break out of its clutches. Hallelujah. Another way that you can recognize that this spirit is troubling you: sexually impure thoughts are indications that a Jezebel spirit may be troubling you. And when these thoughts bombard you and they're troubling you, Because she's committed sexual immorality. And when you're constantly dealing with that spirit, those sexually impure thoughts, if they're constantly bombarding you, this may be an indication that you're not dealing with flesh and blood, but you're dealing with a spirit. And this is one of those places that I had to go before the Lord over and over and over in my walk with the Lord. And there came a time when I went before God and I repented once more. And Father, where this spirit attached to me in my woundedness, Lord God, heal the wounded place of the little girl Dorothy where the spirit attached to me. And as you heal me deep on the inside, Father, no more spirit of lust. You're broken from me through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You deal with that spirit. You deal with those things. The Spirit of God on the inside of you is powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Revelation chapter 2. It says, "Who teach my servants to commit sexual immorality?" People who operate manipulating. They manipulate through guilt. Jesus said, let's go over there. I was there already. I put a mark there. Verse 21, Jesus said, "I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not." If we tolerate this spirit, we come into the same judgment as the spirit. God is a just God. Jesus said in verse 22, "I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds." When we tolerate this spirit and we don't deal with it, we come into the same judgment that Jesus is talking about here. And one of the things that happens if you have strange sicknesses, one of the things that I've dealt with in my body is broken bones, early onset osteoporosis. And I was told by a man of God, "This is a curse that came upon your family line, and we need to break it." But I believe that when I went before Almighty God and then said, "Father, I repent for the sins of my forefathers of shamanism and witchcraft. And as I repent for the sins of my forefathers of shamanism and witchcraft, I apply the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to my forefathers' sin. And I ask you now, as I cleanse that sin with the blood of the Lamb, that this sin washes through my blood as well, and I break off that generational curse of witchcraft over my family. And no longer will this sickness be upon my body, because I'm breaking this curse today in Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Chutzpah. Chutzpah. Thank you. Another thing that happens with this judgment is there may be near-death experiences where you almost get into an accident where you nearly die. And I'll tell you what, when we're thinking about our villages and how the spirit operates among our native people, it's tied to traumas that we have been through in our generations. One of the traumas that our native people went back through in the 1900s, in my village, there were 250 people living there in the 1900s. Then the flu came and we had no resistance whatsoever to the flu. It killed off half of the people. There were 125 people left. Those 125 people were suffering with bronchitis and pneumonia. And as they're suffering with bronchitis and pneumonia and they're starting to heal from the flu, a minor came along with measles. And they had no immunity against the measles, and now there were 6 survivors left. When a people group goes through that kind of trauma and that kind of tragedy, and where all of a sudden we're children, we're orphans now, our parents have left us, there's a wounding on the inside. I don't know how many of you feel rejected when somebody passed away. I don't know how many of you are mad at God because he's allowed your loved one to go, because there's a rejection spirit that attaches. Sometimes this Jezebel spirit came into play in our people a long time ago. And we brought into the light that there's nothing we can do about it. But God is saying today that if we can understand this Jezebel spirit of suicide acts upon our people, and that the suicide spirit is strong in the villages, we go before Almighty God and we say, Father, forgive us for the sin of witchcraft. Forgive us for the things that our forefathers committed against you. As we release the blood of Jesus over this sin and you cleanse our generations, this generation no longer has to suffer from this spirit in Jesus' name, because the blood of Jesus covers the sins of our fathers. The blood of Jesus covers my sin, and this Jezebel spirit has no more hold. The portal that was opened through witchcraft into the second heaven, I shut it now in Jesus' name. I shut it. And no longer will this suicide spirit affect my generations because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's freedom to be had for our people. Our people perish for lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I've been believing God for the longest time that he would grant us this tragedy to begin to take authority in those places where we needed to take authority. And God the Father, like he prophesied, he's going to do it corporately. Thank you, Lord. Whenever you have bizarre and near-fatal accidents, and how many of you know that there are lots of near-fatal accidents in the villages? I've lost people because of fatal accidents. I've been there when fatal accidents happened. The Jezebel spirit tries to steal your peace. The spirit is sent to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He tries to steal your peace, your joy, and your confidence. We've had our joy stolen for too long. Yeah. And it's time that the body of Christ takes on the full armor of God and we begin to wrap ourselves. We take on the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the gospel of peace. We take on the belt of truth. We take the sword of the Spirit and we begin to go into the villages and we say, Heavenly Father, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, your word says that when we repent before you, Lord God, that you will fight our battles for us. And how many, that was said earlier. Emma, were you the one that said it? Hallelujah. Somebody said that earlier. God is about to show himself, and he's about to show himself strong on our behalf. He's going. It's not any ifs, ands, or buts. When Billy Graham said that when the native people begin to rise up, a sleeping giant comes alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God on the inside of this man went into the ground. And when the word of man that goes into the ground, Billy Graham had an anointing that called in all the people. He called in salvation for this, and 2.5 million got saved. Guess what? We can claim that anointing that went into the ground for our people out there, the that are coming in as we clean up our bloodline, as we clean up our lives, as we begin to do as God said, take authority over these spirits, take authority over these things. Get on your knees if you have to, if it's in your life. Clean your temple. There's a fruit that comes from the Word of God. The Bible says if your heart is good ground, it will bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A number of years ago, I had a dream, and in the dream, I saw fire covering the whole earth. And I'll just tell you this, as I was dreaming, I won't go into the whole dream, but as I was dreaming, everywhere I go, I preach the Word of God, and I tell the people, the seed of the Word is Jesus. And every seed that goes into the ground, it comes up. Anytime you plant a seed and it's watered, it comes up. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's the way God made it. And the seed of the Word, it says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, the seed of the Word is God. And then it says, if your heart is good ground, the seed of the Word will bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. How many of you want that 100-fold return from the seed of the Word? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in this dream, I saw a mountain, and I saw a little mound of earth, and my eyes, X-ray vision. I could see right into the dirt. And I saw a salmonberry seed. And I saw that seed suddenly come on fire. And as it came on fire, that salmonberry sprouted up. And it was a full ripened salmonberry that was on fire. If your heart is good ground, the seed of the Word on the inside of you, fired by the Holy Spirit, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You can expect fruit from what God wants you to do. Hallelujah. It's Almighty God. It's the Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When your sinuses are infected, how many of you deal with sinus infections? Our five senses, there are things that our five senses represent. The sinuses represents the spirit of discernment. You can smell what's good. You can discern it. You can smell what's bad. So when your senses get infected, it may be that you've been tolerating a Jezebel spirit, even though you know that it's wrong, you do it anyways. It may be that your sinuses are infected because it's time to quit tolerating this Jezebel spirit. It's time to deal with your own issues. It's time to quit intimidating. It's time to quit controlling. It's time to quit manipulating. It's time to quit using fear in our families. Hallelujah. If we're going to break this over our families, we also have to break it over ourselves. And I'll tell you what, raised up in alcohol, dealing with drugs and alcohol before I got saved, I used a lot of anger to raise my son. I used a lot of manipulation and control. I used a lot of intimidation. When he hid my beer, I used intimidation for him to go get it back, or else he'd get something. And when sometimes we have this spirit of intimidation in our family, we tell the kids, you want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. Instead, the Bible says, don't provoke your children to wrath. And so sometimes where we begin to hurt people through intimidation and we hurt people with manipulation and control, it's time that God is saying we need to deal with this within ourselves as well. We need to ask him to go deep into that hurt and pain that's where the spirit attached to ourselves. And we need to say, Father, I need you to heal me where the spirit attached to me. And as you heal that broken part of me, Lord God, Father, as you heal this through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I break off every spirit of intimidation and control and manipulation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's the answer for the Jezebel spirit? Address it in the person. If it's in the church, address it in the person and remove him or her from all leadership unless he or she repents. They have to go through a process of healing. Remove that person from any influence with you. You cannot remain friends with a person who cannot be humble and teachable because that person will affect you. 1 Kings 19, Elijah talked about the wind, the fire, and the earthquake, and that still small voice. The Holy Spirit will give you words of knowledge that this is a spirit that you're dealing with. Ask the Holy Spirit questions, specific questions. Do you feel called by God to keep? Do you feel called by God to keep your pastor from screwing up? Do you feel called to be their armor bearer so they won't screw up? But what about God? What about the Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict a person. If you feel called by God, it may be that you need to deal with this Jezebel spirit. Remember this Jezebel spirit? It casts a spell. So sometimes we don't even know if we're operating in it. And so you need to recognize, am I operating in this? Do you use manipulation? Do you use control? Do you go to other people to cause division in the church? It's not a hard thing, because wherever Satan is trying to use you, he's trying to use you, because if you have authority in this area, you now have an authority that will set people free. Yeah. Yeah. And there were times in my walk with God where I came against leadership in the body of Christ. But as I've grown in the Lord, I came to understand that God put leadership in authority over me. Touch not mine anointed. And I am to honor those who are in leadership. I am to honor them and pray for them. Mary taught us a real good thing. She said, when you see an elder, you're a baby Christian. Don't you dare go and try to correct that elder. It's not your place. You're not the pastor. So I learned that if I see sin in the body of Christ, my job is to get on my knees. Heavenly Father, I see the lust on this man of God. But Lord, the Bible says that if whatsoever sins you remit, they are remitted in John chapter 20. And as I go before you and repent on his behalf for the sin of lust, Father, I remit that sin back to you, and I cover it with the blood. And Lord Jesus, would you bring him to a place, the calling that you have on his life, would you bring him to a place of recognizing his sin and that he could come before you? And I can't tell you how many times I've seen Jesus answer prayers that you pray in secret over the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So Elijah says that he's the only one left. God said that he's got 7,000. When you are going through this, seek godly counsel from the elders, the pastors, and the apostolic elders, the senior pastors. You'll find that other leaders have gone through this themselves, and they can help you walk through it. Elijah was told to anoint three people. They were Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha. The way you deal with the spirit is through the prophet, the priest, and the king. Hazael was a king, Jehu was a prophet, and Elisha was a priest. It was Jehu that killed Jezebel. Jehu was a prophet. Jesus is a prophet, the priest, and the king. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, if you don't deal with this spirit, I will deal with you. If you don't deal with this, because those who sleep with her are judged too. If you don't deal with this, he will remove you from your ministry. Who will stand against this spirit and raise up? He will raise up someone who will stand against the spirit, and he will raise up someone else to carry your ministry who has double the anointing. This is the prophet, the priest, and the king. He will remove you because he will raise up someone else to deal with her. He will raise up another priest in your place, and he will raise up another prophet who has twice the anointing. Number one thing to deal with the spirit is get alone with God. You have to get alone with God. You have to seek counsel. You have to take action. Stop tolerating this in your leadership. Forgive the church for tolerating this spirit. Remove the curse that has. And this is where those of us who have this spirit in operation in our families, we go before God and we say, Father, forgive me for the things that I did that brought this curse onto my family. Forgive me for not dealing with the spirit to begin with. And as you forgive me, Heavenly Father, right now I take authority over the spirit. No more will my children operate in the spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I break off this Jezebel spirit that would come against me. I take authority that over this Jezebel spirit, this witchcraft spirit that would take and go into drugs, because when they don't deal with this spirit is hungry. It will take them into the place of drugs to destroy them. And so we need to deal with this in our family, and we deal with it through repentance, and we say, Father, forgive us for tolerating this spirit. And we tear down the strongholds that this strong man has built over our families. As we tear down the lies and the spirit of that rejection spirit, we say, Father, where the enemy tried to teach us that we're no good, that we're good for nothing, that we are unlovable, every lie of the enemy, I tear it down now. And because you no longer have a stronghold up here in my thought life, your stronghold over my family is broken now. My children are called into the kingdom of God to their rightful place and their destiny in the kingdom of God. And where you have them right now in drugs and alcohol, no more, because they're coming in. Me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I went way over, way long, so I'm going to turn this over to Mary.
Thank you, Jesus. She's demonstrating how to exercise that scepter of the king that God has given each one of you. And you can exercise it in your homes. You can exercise it over your churches. You can exercise it over a state or a nation. Alaska has been chosen by God to impact the United States of America. And there are wonderful seers and prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers in this land that are making decrees to shift America. And their names are written in heaven. Jesus keeps the record. A lot of quiet, hidden intercessors are doing these things. We would like, as a team, to make some declarations tonight in response to... Would you move this for me, please? Thank you, love. In response to the Word of God, I really believe in responding to the Word that it's been sown into our hearts today. We are going to make some decree. And can we ask if Eileen and Ipley would come up and join us? Dorothy, you too. We've also, Kingdom Alliance has also commissioned Eileen and Ipley. Abraham George, thank you for joining us. And also Dorothy. These are seasoned ministers. And God has given each one of us the ability and the grace and the scepter to make declaration and decrees. Yes, come on. Eva, yes. See, Eva, if I have these reading glasses on, I don't recognize anyone. All right. Good, good. And as we make declaration and decree, I want you to join with us. Let your spirit join with us and say, yes, yes. And then you exercise the scepter in your hands also. In Jesus' name, we're not going to belabor this and make it long. We're going to make a quick decree, each one of us. We will decree the thing that God has put on our heart today. And you will agree. I personally feel that it would be good for you to suddenly leap to your feet and agree when you hear something that really, I mean, come on, put some action into it. Because your spirit is saying, yes, let your body say yes also. I'd like to start with Robert. And we'll just pass this down.
One of the main things that I was hearing in the teaching is that there's repentance that needs to take place. And I think with the anointing that is upon the word, I feel like there's something that all of us can repent of. Let's just take a minute. I feel like God has convicted us of something. So I'm just going to stand here for a minute or so, and let's just speak to the Lord ourselves. Father, today we just proclaim that we will not tolerate that Jezebel spirit any longer. We will not allow the influence of that demonic spirit within our households and within the places that we go to church. God, within the ministries that you've called us to, we will not tolerate that Jezebel spirit any longer. And Father, I just thank you, God, Lord, that you have caused us to step into a place of victory, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We will not cower down and enter into fear any longer, God. But Lord God, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Father, you have called us to your plans and your purposes. You've created us for your purposes. You've planted your seeds of righteousness within us, Father. And Lord, I thank you, God, Lord, that your seeds will grow and produce that thing that you want it to in your kingdom, Father. Lord, I proclaim that over every single one of us. I proclaim it over Alaska, God, because you have put up your hedge around Alaska, and you're proclaiming that this thing is broken in the land, Father, in the name of Jesus. So I proclaim that in Jesus' name.
And Heavenly Father, I come before you, God, in the courtroom of heaven. God, as a kingdom alliance apostolic and prophetic team, God. God, that you've raised us up, oh God, here in Alaska, and therefore we have the power and the authority, Father God, that you've granted us, oh God. Father God, we come into the courtroom of heaven, Lord God, and we say, Father God, that we will no longer tolerate this Jezebel spirit. We cast it far from this land, for we declare and decree, Father God, that Alaska belongs to you, Lord God, and we take up, oh God, our apostolic and prophetic authority and say, Father God, that Alaska belongs to you, and Lord God, that the kingdom of God will be no longer tolerated by this Jezebel spirit. We cast her far from this land, and we say that the kingdom of God is being advanced, oh God, with true apostles, true prophets, true evangelists, true pastors, true teachers, true intercessors, God, in our land, in Jesus' name.
Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come before you, we say, Lord, wash through this land with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, Heavenly Father, this where the Spirit came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, that as the word of God goes into the land and into the ground, we're calling forth a victory over that spirit of suicide. We're calling forth a victory over the deaths that happen through accidents, oh God. And Lord God, not just victory over these things, we're calling forth salvation coming out of the villages. We're calling forth a fire of the living God, the wind, the fire, and the still small voice of God moving through the villages with revival in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before the throne of grace, before the throne of mercy, Father God. Father God, we lift up our youth, our youth, Father, before you. The rebellious spirit that is upon them, Father God, that is not of you. That is of the Jezebel spirit. In the name of Jesus, we address that right now in Jesus' name, for it permeates in the homes of your children. Father God, we lift up our youth before you, Lord God, that we will not tolerate this Jezebel spirit in our home through our youth that is trying to take control of the home. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And we plead the blood of Jesus over this right now. Thank you, Father. The victory is yours, for you paid the price, Lord Jesus, and we acknowledge. And Father God, in the future, help us, help your children, help us to recognize the spirit of Jezebel when it's at work in the families and in church. Father God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory and praise. We give you the Bristol Bay, all the villages in Bristol Bay. We take authority in Jesus' name. Let the Jezebel spirits be gone from every village in Bristol Bay in Jesus' name. And in my country, Bethel area, 56 villages, we declare you to move. We ask you to pour down your blood upon each villages in Kuskokwim, that is 56 villages. And in that villages, every village is having a suicidal problem. In Jesus' name, we ask you, send down your warring angels to send them off to outer darkness. Each village is in Jesus' name. And everyone in those villages that we mentioned in Bristol Bay and in Bethel area, you take over on your behalf in Jesus' name. Jezebel spirit, you have to go in our churches. You are being kicked out from all the churches. even from the Moravian Church, you get out in Jesus' name. You don't have no business in authority in the Moravian churches. Jesus, you will raise up the army in that church that is in you alone. We give you all the churches here. We will work together for the furtherance of your kingdom. We are one in you, Heavenly Father. We need to work together to cleanse this anchorage too for the furtherance of your kingdom. We believe in you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Bless your children in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Kuyana ata agayun. Dunakan tayt kashon kwang kutatamam tapit ksuta for our sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we kuyak you, Jesus, for spagun Lord Jesus, we have the way. Hallelujah. Kuyana Jesus. Hallelujah. Akhtulugi minister at. It's time. It's time. The laziness has to stop and they have to rise up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is time for the prayer of repentance, cleansing off strongholds by the power of blood of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Achtuchnetten through Newton, Lord Jesus, throughout Alaska, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Shachbuk Espitbilekshon. Guyana, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hora the Hiyata Shida, the Hora the Biyata Shida. Hallelujah. Guyana, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And now, Father, according to your prophet that you sent to Alaska, Chuck Pierce, he prophesied that the voice of victory was being released in the body of Christ. It was being released in the ecclesia, and that voice of victory would begin to be released first in Alaska. Therefore, today, we release that voice of victory over Alaska. We are victorious. We release that voice of victory over the United States of America. We are victorious. And we release that voice of victory in the atmosphere around this globe, that everyone who believes would move into victory now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock.